As many of you know, our family went to Romania for 2 weeks, just a couple weeks ago, and many of you were involved in this. This was not our trip. This was a Crossroads trip. And those of you who sponsored a child, I have something for you. On the back table, there are envelopes of pictures with your name on it, of your child or your blanket. There's little gifts that the kids made. So I want you all who sponsored a child to, and there was like 20, there's like 25 envelopes. I want you to go back there and get the gift. It's from the child, it's from our family. We want you to see and pray for that child. But anyway, I'm really excited to be here, and I think my husband said, you know, in your enthusiasm, I'm just gonna let you take care of this. You just talk about Romania. It is definitely a passion of mine, and we had such an awesome time. But anyway, I want you to turn to 1 John 3, 16 through 18, and I'm going to read that. That's after Hebrews, very end of the New Testament. 1 John 3, 16, not the 3:16 that we're familiar with. And this is the verse that has always motivated me. I just remember, we all have a life verse, at least many of us do. We read it and we say, that's powerful. That speaks to me. And it shapes who you are. And this is the verse that for years has always ministered to me and spoke. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone, and that's Americans talking about freedom today, it's unbelievable what kind of possessions we own in comparison to others. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? This is my verse. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. You know what? Not all of us are called to travel. Not all of us are called to, go to the mission field. But you know what? If we have no pity, or we don't care about those in need, how can the love of God be in us? We can at least care and show our concern and support those, or support different kinds of missions in our own town. Anyway, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions. And that is what prompted us to go to House of Angels. Let me give you a little background on House of Angels. House of Angels is just an obscure home in Romania. It's about an hour and a half, 2 hours depending on traffic, or 3 hours depending on traffic, outside of Bucharest. Now, Bucharest is very similar to New York in many respects. I was looking at the ladies in Bucharest. We spent the last three nights in Bucharest just so we could see the big city. No different than New York. Ladies very classy, men dressed very nicely. Very nice place. No different. 2 hours away, Gaiesht, completely different. People traveling in cars, but also traveling in horse and buggy. The gypsies there, the Romas, they're from Romania. Many of them travel by horse and buggy, or they don't have any transportation at all. Stark contrast to Bucharest and New York. People living very simply. There are going to be some houses. I do have a little bit of a slide presentation that will begin in a minute, but you're going to see one of the houses. House of Angels ministers to three groups of people. Oh, did I just remove that? House of Angels serves three groups of people, and it's that I did a little research on the internet quite a couple years ago. Lord, we want to minister to a house that is not supported by anyone, an obscure house that is isolated, alone, but meeting the needs of children. House of Angels is that. The first, and Simona is the overseer, the caretaker. She's the one who had the vision for House of Angels and put it into motion. And so she is, what's that word, honey? You gave it to me. Anyways, she oversees the house, but she doesn't live there. She lives in Austria. First is it provides therapy for the very poor. Now you have to understand, Gyasht is extremely poor. You go right outside the immediate village and you have dire poverty. It's very sad. And what Simona provides is transportation for these people who live in the country into her house. And she has a therapist that provides therapy 2 days a week. That's not enough. He was talking to me today. He was talking to me and he said, Kim, these children need 4 days, but Simona can't afford it. And he was explaining me the situation. Some of those kids are smart, but they don't go to school because their society doesn't value those kinds of children that have severe physical and mental disabilities. So she brings them in, they provide therapy. That's one way that House of Angels provides for the community. The second one is an after-school program. Now, like our community, we find ways of screening and finding the most poor. They too, they have a social program and they have determined who is the poorest. And so these children come to House of Angels about noontime, and House of Angels provides a hot lunch, and then they help them with their homework, love them, play with them through the afternoon, and then in the evening they send them home on a full stomach. They provide another meal, and then they tuck food into their pockets. That's the second program. The third is House of Angels provides care and housing for the state children, and that's the saddest program. Those are the kids that are there 24/7. Those are the throwaways, and those are the children that have been abandoned for whatever reason. Again, their society looks at children with special needs as non-important and not good. And therefore, those are the ones that are considered legally as orphans, because all the other orphans have been absorbed into this society. They have been absorbed into maybe a foster system, not a very good system, but they no longer have orphans. They went from 300,000 orphans a few years ago to 1,000 orphans. But if you have severe needs, you can stay at House of Angels or the state institution. Now you have to understand, on the premise are two homes. One is the state-run home, and the other is Simona's home. Now the state has asked Simona if they could use and occupy her home because she has this beautiful, brightly colored, very cheery, large building. And they have asked if they could occupy. So on the first level are these state children. So they belong to the state, and yet Simona has a lot of say in how these children eat and how they're cared for, and that's where we came in to the picture. We were able to get involved and help these children in whatever way we could. The state looks at us, though, and says, why are they here? They're very suspicious of any volunteers, because they're thinking, and you have to realize, they only see what's around them. So if they think, why, we've got our orphans, why don't they go home to their orphans? Not really realizing that the poor, and this is a sensitive issue for me, I need to be guarded, the poor in our country are rich compared to the poor in their country. The poor in our country own 52-inch flat-screen TVs and stereos and cars. They may be simple cars. They get food stamps. They get insurance. They, you know, are poor. So they're wondering, why are we coming to help their kids? And so they're a bit standoffish and they're a bit distant. And the first day that we arrived, they lost a child in this home. And as a result, it caused a lot of tension. They wanted to pin the blame, as all governments do, with children in the foster system or in an orphanage. Even though these children are not important, they still want to pin the blame. Why did this child die? Oh, this volunteer had spent a lot of time with this child. Maybe he was exposed to something. Jalou, who's got this big old heart, he runs House of Angels. He's not a professional. He just has a big heart. He's in retirement, so he oversees. He makes sure that they provide good food to these kids, tasty food. compared to the home next door. I don't even want to go there, what they feed the kids. So a child dying, what happens? Everything. Maybe it's the volunteers. Make sure their medical forms are in place and they don't have any contagious diseases. Maybe it's Jaloo's fault because he rushed his child to the hospital in his own car. No, you wait for the ambulance. Maybe it's Simona's fault. Maybe they were all pin and blame. And it caused a lot of stress, and it was just difficult because we had to be careful about what we could do. They were just suspicious of us. So those are the three programs. Understanding that the children that are there full-time are the discards and throwaways. And there's a couple. There is one of those kids, one of those children that our family fell in love with. We fell in love with all of them. But the next few pictures are one of the throwaways. Bright, engaging. The one up there, and I think I have got some more pictures on the next couple slides. Nope, guess not. Guess she's somewhere else. But she was a throwaway. Why? Because she was paralyzed from the waist down. Smart, incredibly smart. Spend a lot of time in her crib until we arrived and started picking her up and loving her. The next phase in putting together this trip was putting together a team that desired to help these kids but could handle some of the difficult scenes and situations. Last year, just our family went. It was kind of an exploration, testing the waters. Is this a home that we could build a team and bring over? Could they use us? Is there enough work out there? And we had been planning this for quite some time, and we'd been saving as a family, and so we were able to make that trip. And after that, Simona said, "Kim, come back." We're like, "Oh my goodness, don't know if we can do that financially, but we'll pray about it." And our kids said, "We want to go." "You want to go? All right, you're going to have to pay for it." They enjoyed the first trip so much that my kids committed to doing it on their own. So they bought their ticket, and they saved, and they worked, and they had fundraisers. And so we opened it up to the whole congregation, and you know, we understand not everyone can afford to go to Romania, take 1-2 weeks off, but we opened it up to everybody, and it was really exciting. We started with a group of 15 in our meeting, and Walt and Joshua were not there, and we were really excited. People were there just collecting information, deciding, could we do it? Could we afford this? Is this for us? And we also opened it up to our congregation, our previous congregation in Kingman, Arizona. The pastor that followed Walt, he's been doing missions for years and years and years, but he always goes solo, always goes by himself. He goes to Myanmar. And so we thought, you know what? We'd been with this congregation for 17 years. We wanted to give them the opportunity of traveling to Romania. So we opened it up to them as well. And before we left, we had a team of 10. We were really excited. We were hoping that more could come, but we understand the difficulties of it, vacations, no, God's not calling us, no, we don't have the money. One family wanted to go, but realized sending a family of four would be financially prohibitive. So at the very end, and then Becky, bless her heart, she was going to go, and then she realized she'd miss her sister's graduation, and she wasn't going to do that. God put together the perfect team. It was a team of 10. It was just enough. There's two apartments that we occupied. We couldn't have taken any more. We could have maybe staggered some of the teams, so you know, we have 10 here, 10 there. But God put together a team of 10, and it was an awesome team. We had a handyman who designed the playground. Every detail, lumber list, hardware list, he did all sorts of projects around the home, and they were so grateful. By the end of the trip, one of the ladies, one of the caretakers, kissed Roger, and he showed her his wedding ring. They loved him. He just did everything that they needed. He fixed stoves, he fixed locks. But anyways, God put together this team that was We couldn't have asked for a better team. My husband and Roger got up early, as well as the kids, and they all worked late. We needed that. We had a few ladies, nurturing ladies, attention to detail. We needed that. We had some teenagers that were full of energy, strength, love, and concern for the babies. God put together this team. I thought we might take a few more, but God knew. And it couldn't have turned out any better. And we do appreciate the fundraisers. You know, when I think of all that you have contributed toward this trip, we couldn't have done it. We couldn't have done it without you. The kids were able to earn at least half of their ticket because of the fundraisers, and they had to match it with the rest. Thank you so much for that. Why did we go? Oh, honey, it's 2 minutes till. Okay, why did we go? We went to build a playground. Really? But just a playground? It was so much more than that. It was more than a playground. But we did build a playground. It was a group project. We had great memories building that. Waking up early, staying up late, painting in the dark. No lights out there, but still painting. You know, I don't know where the light came from. But that was our group project. And we each had to contribute $150 over and above the cost of the trip just to build that playground. And Simona had asked last year that we come and do a playground that would suit the needs of special needs as well as the after-school kids. That was our project. But we also went to alleviate the workload on the nurses and caretakers, clean and change diapers. And you know what? That was difficult. Not that we couldn't change diapers or that changing diapers is, you know, a nasty project, but these state children were allotted 4 diapers a day. And there were no wipes. We kept wondering, where are the wipes? Where are the diapers? We want to change them. We want to keep them dry. Well, halfway through the trip, we realized, no, there's a diaper. There's one diaper put out in the morning, another put out in the afternoon, evening, and then before they go to bed. We were looking for stacks of diapers so that we could change them as we saw need. Weren't available. Baby wipes, boom. As soon as someone would put out a package of baby wipes, they were gone. They mysteriously disappeared. We thought they just didn't use them. So we would buy our own. Gone. Then we realized, okay, things are disappearing. The workers, the nurses, the caretakers, they don't have these kinds of things around their house, so they take them. Everything is just... So we would feed, we would dress them, we would play, and we would love on these throwaways. And it was one of these throwaways that we did fall in love with. La Cremiera broke our heart because she was completely, she seemed so normal, so engaging, so loving, so wanting affection. And she was completely happy at all, every time we saw her, she was smiling. By the end of the trip, we would come into her room and she would lift her arms up. And now she was getting to be expecting to be picked up because we were there and we were spending lots of time with her. She never cried. We'd put her in her crib, never cried. And then the last day, as we were leaving, they allowed me to go into the state home, which was highly unlikely and unusual, because they knew I wanted to say goodbye to her. And so they said, yes, come, say goodbye to her. I picked her up. It was distressing to see the state home anyway. And I picked her up, and we just had a real special moment. And as I was leaving, I put her back in her crib, and this is the first time that she had ever cried because she was truly a happy content. She bawled like a baby, and I don't know if she knew, if she felt, if she understood instinct that we were leaving, but she cried. Of course, it just made me bawl. I just had to run out of there crying. But we have fallen in love with this little girl. Helping to alleviate the workload on nurses, we also recognize that we cause stress and a little bit of, we disrupted the routine as well. We would walk into these babies and they were double wrapped and the windows were closed and it was hot and humid and these children were sweating, and so we would pick them up, we would undress them, put them down to their diaper or whatever, and open the windows and then open the door to get that circulation going. They would come, and this became a joke, they would come behind us, they would put a jacket on, they would close the window and shut the door. Okay, what? We don't understand. And so by introducing our ways, we were frustrating. And so we quickly recognized that we didn't come to frustrate and undermine what they're doing, but we can understand how they could leave the babies languished in their cribs with doors closed, windows closed, double wrapped, and a blanket on them. But we came to help the nurses, so we realized we have to change our ways. We don't want to offend the nurses with American thinking. But that's one of the things. That was one of the purposes of our trip, was to hopefully alleviate workload. The last one was our ultimate goal. Our desire is to plant a church. That's the ultimate purpose, is to plant a church in Gayesht. And how do you do that? We may not speak the same language. They may not understand us at all. But they do understand love. They understand compassion and passion. We didn't have to speak English or Romanian for them to understand that we care and we want to help and we want to do whatever we can. So we were building bridges in the last two trips, nurturing relationships. And as you see, one of the families, Gianella and George Sandu, it's her home, building relationships with the teachers and the caretakers, and building relationships with the children. All of those are building relationships in hopes of, if the Lord chooses to plant a church, we will have built bridges which with each of these members of Gayesht. Why? We're preparing the soil. My husband thinks I'm a good gardener. I really don't think I'm a great gardener. I have no vegetables to contribute to the baskets, Bonnie, because my garden's not doing very well. It takes a lot of work to prepare the soil, and I love it. It's therapeutic. I'm just not that good, but it's work. And by going over there and not speaking their language, we're still preparing the soil so that when it comes time to deliver the message, the seed, the word of Christ, they'll be ready to receive it because they know us, they trust us, we love them, they love us. It would be like working with a coworker for many years. You've grown to trust them, respect them, honor them. They make you look good. They are there when you need them. They cover you. You work with a person like that? Do you know someone like that? And then what if that coworker were to come to you one day and say, you know what, I've really thought about the gospel, I've read one of the books, one of the gospels, I'm going to give my heart to Christ. Whoa. Really? Makes you think. Makes you consider. Because you honor and respect that person, you think twice about it. That's what we're doing, is we're just building that trust that when we do come and present the gospel, they'll go, wow, we trust them. Maybe we need to consider. That's our ultimate hope in going over to Romania. What did we accomplish? Credibility and trust. We wanted our word to mean something. When we left Romania last summer, Simona said, Kim, will you come? Roberts, will you come? Volunteers have come and gone, promised to return, never return. Will you come? And at first we're like, yes, we will. We wanted our word to mean something. Somewhere in Scripture it says, let your yes, what? Be yes. And that meant a lot to her and it meant a lot to us. So we returned with the team this time. So we gained some credibility, which gave us opportunity to have some responsibility while we were there this time. Simona said, Kim, get rid of the winter clothes. Clean the room. Kim, have your kids do this. Have your team do this. Here's the key to the storage room. Won't you do this? Won't you do that? Open the windows. She gave us more responsibility this time than last. Maybe we've earned the right to be heard. And so when we do plant that church, we will earn the right to be heard. Now, does planting a church seem more viable? Absolutely. Last year I thought, oh, no way. This year, yes, I do see planting a church. Are we going to return? Yes. Do we want you to come? Absolutely. If you think the Lord is calling you. But you know what? We all have a different ministry. Jamie does FCA. There are all sorts of different ministries in the church. Are you called to our ministry? Are we called to your ministry? No, but you know what? We can support each other. I mean, we are a family. When one is hurting, or when one is suffering, or when one has something that they want to share, we all work together and support each other. I don't want to put pressure on you. The Holy Spirit will lead you in the ministry that you should be in. But you know what? And there are some, the next few slides are just some memories that we've made. But you know what? I'd like everyone to stand up, but I'm not going to make you. But what if I were to say, are you an active Christian? Are you involved in ministry? Stand up. Are you? If you couldn't stand up and say, yes, I'm an active Christian, I am doing something for Christ, then you know what? Maybe you should consider going to Romania. Maybe you should consider supporting and helping out with this ministry or that ministry. Toddlers, nursery. We made tattoos. We did gymnastics. We played games. There's another slide. There's lots of memories. We had just a fun time playing with the kids. But ultimately, our desire is to prepare the soil so that when we plant that seed, the word of Christ, they will receive it. Now, for those of you who did support us, pray that you'll go out there, get those pictures. Pray for us. Think about it. But my prayer for you is that you are active, actively sharing and understanding that God has given us so much in the States. Even the poor are so blessed. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for supporting us.